The Team Never Quit podcast is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. If you're looking for a car this summer, go check out how Navy Federal and TrueCar are making it so easy for you to find the right one at NavyFederal.org.
At 8 years old, I knew what my mission was, what my passion was, what my God-given calling was, which was really to be a part of the redemption story of the health of America.
Never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Team Never Quit podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're getting this show. So today, before we kick it off with our special guest, let's do what we always do and go with our Patreon question of the week. And this week, we have got, what is the best compliment you have ever gotten?
Man, best compliment I've ever gotten. To be honest, I'm not even going to put it towards myself, but I'm going to put it towards our team and kind of what we do at Own It. And the best compliment was that we deliver on what everybody else promises. Because I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of talk out there. There's a lot of opportunity now where everybody has a voice. But to be able to walk in that conviction and to deliver on that and to set the standard and then hold the standard is something that we strive for, to be just people of character and conviction. And so getting that compliment is just validation that, hey, you know what? The good guy does win at the end of the day, and walking in what you're called to do will always pay off.
I like that.
That's good. How about you?
I think my best compliment is always about my kids. Like, when people compliment my kids, I feel like that's a compliment to me.
So, definitely the most rewarding.
Definitely, yeah. I like when people compliment how well-behaved, well-mannered, respectful, you know, that kind of thing. Or if they did, you know, a good deed at school or something like that. I always get compliments on Hunter because he gets along with everybody. But yeah, I think that's mine, is when people compliment all my kids.
How about you?
It's a good one. To be honest, so this compliment wasn't given directly to me, but the one that one lady gave
to
you.
I had the best compliment ever.
That, like, I
hands down
cannot forget.
I mean,
that
I don't even like to use it just because I save it for.
What was
for,
it?
I'll never go. You want to say it?
You got it.
I'll never. I was outside the Hotel Del Coronado. I was standing there, I had my cowboy hat on, my buckle, my boots. I was driving my jacket on, standing out in the breezeway, waiting for the car to pick us up, waiting for you to come down. This car rolls up, and this lady walks out of it. Black lady, my sister, walks straight up to me and goes, "Excuse me, I don't know how you're feeling on the inside, but you look great on the outside." Turned around and walked off. I'll never forget what she looks like. Matter of fact, I got the door for her to get her back in her car. I could not believe. I saw her walk up to me. She's about 20 yards from me, man. I caught her out of the corner of my eye. And she come walking up. I had my head down. I think I was messing with my phone. And she said, "Excuse me." And when I looked up, she set that on me. And if you get a compliment from a sister, that's a big deal, man. They normally don't go out of their way to do that. So I'll never forget that. I mean, she hit me with it, made my day, made my year. I was just like, "Oh my God, thank you very much." That's all she said. She walked away.
You were standing there.
You were standing a little bit taller after that one.
Oh, yeah. My chest came back out. I was like, "I'm gonna go work out. I'm gonna be a better human being for this." Because if a sister puts a blessing on you, man, that's a good one, and I'll never forget her.
Well, Marcus always wears his cowboy hat when we're traveling. Like, it's just his Texan look. And one time, I had already gotten in the car. And he was waiting. I don't know. He was doing something. He was outside the car and a lady walked by and she had been drinking and she goes, if you want to be my rip for the night from Yellowstone, I'm like, you're going to catch these hands.
I was in DC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. Marcus had never even watched the show.
I never even seen the show.
So he didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, oh no. She was wanting to take you home.
Yeah. That lady outside the Dell, I'll never forget her.
That was a good one.
It was great.
Yeah.
I gave that to my brother. I was like, bro, I got a compliment. You drop on. Drop that. You, it's all you, Justin, if you want it, man. If you're standing there and you see that, use that one.
I'm going to take that.
This is a game changer.
I don't know how you're feeling on the outside or on the inside, but my gosh, on the outside you're looking fine.
Yeah, like freaking great. Oh my god,
that's
dude!
A good pickup line.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And she just turned around and walked off. I'll never forget her. I'll never forget her, man. Yeah, that was a good question. Mm-hmm. All right, brother. Thanks for coming on. The way we do this, I like to get a little bit about your backstory, where you come from, so our team and our listeners can get to know you a little better. So please, if you wouldn't mind, man, tell me where you were born.
Yeah, born in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So it was long, cold winters, and they were dark, but my gosh, it was an amazing place to be from. Just learning amazing values, the hard work, just building grit from a very young age. And I still remember at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, playing outside on the outdoor rinks for 3, 4, 5 hours a night in minus 10, 15, 20 degree weather, just loving life and just thinking we were on the top of the world. And I really think that that foundation just set what has always just been in my blood, which is just hard work, just grit, determination, just continuing to set your eyes on something and to go after it, to be honest, to be convicted, and to come by things honestly. And I always tell this story. At 8 years old, I knew what my mission was, what my passion was, what my God-given calling was, which was really to be a part of the redemption story of the health of America. And as I kind of went down that journey, I didn't realize that it was actually going to be not having it and chasing mine for about 30 years that ultimately would help to create that that calling to actually come true. And so that's where I'm from, and that family background that I had. I grew up in an amazing family, amazing mom, amazing dad, God-fearing people, prayed over me before I was born, and just was raised with a deep conviction and relationship with the Lord, and just a love for people.
Hey, tell me about your mom and dad. You have siblings as well?
I do. I've got a sister. She's 4 years younger than myself, but my parents are incredible. My mom is literally an angel walking on earth. She just has such a deep connection with the Lord and just a prophetic spirit, and that's just what I was raised in. Praying before bed, and every story we'd read was a Bible story, and like I said, praying over me before I was born, and continue to pray for me throughout my childhood and even today. And it's something now that we just get to share deeply is that deep relationship with God. And my father, who was always the provider, just somebody who was a provider, a protector, somebody who was sacrificial. He was always present for every hockey game that I had. He was any sporting event, even during a deep time of sickness. I'll get into this a little bit, but in myself, over the course of 2 years, he basically worked from home and took a sabbatical for 2 years to look after me and make sure that I had everything I needed. And it was amazing. And I think the cool part was, like, when you see this, it's like, oh, this is an amazing upbringing. And even still, there's a lot of wounds, a lot of healing that needs to come in this. And even though my father was always present, he wasn't always emotionally there. He came from a family straight from Germany that the Germans, they're hard people, and didn't have a father figure in his life. And he just knew that he was always going to be present for me. And that was his way of thinking that he was a great father, but wasn't ever really there emotionally for me. And about 3 years ago, I started putting events on called Redeemed. And they're the health and fitness event for men who want to activate, deepen, and strengthen their faith. And what ended up happening was I put my first four on, and my dad just started to see what was happening there. And there was almost like a conviction in his heart. And he's like, hey, can I come out to one of these? And when he asked, I was like, I don't necessarily know if I want you to, because we get very vulnerable. We get like, we break things down and are able to then just like get closer to God. And I'd never seen that side of him. And he came out, and I'll never forget, we were out doing breath work on the beach in the morning. We'd had an amazing workout and worship time and fellowship time the day before. And we did breath work. And then what I had was I had about 20 buckets on the beach, and they were in groups of four. And I had men relay race, go down, grab heavy sand, bring it back in. They could only use their hands, dump it in until the buckets were full. And it was a race. And these guys were like racing, racing, racing as fast as they could. And once the buckets were full, guys are going, yeah, we're done, we're done, we're done, we're done, we're done. And I said, okay, now that you're done, I want you to pick up that bucket one at a time. And I want you to lunge. It was about 20 meters from where the buckets were to the start of the water. I said, I want you to lunge down and back and switch every single time you go down and back. And well, now these men start to struggle. They start to struggle. It's heavy, heavy, heavy. This thing went from being 4 pounds of a bucket to probably close to 150, 200 pounds with the wet sand. And at the end, when we were all completed and done, I basically led the analogy of as men, we think we can, and human beings in general, but specifically speaking at this event to men, we think that, oh, we can go and grab these little issues and just keep dumping them in a bucket and we handle them like it's nothing. But little do we know that they're stacking up. And over the time, they become a heavy weight. And we walk through this life with a heavy, heavy weight. And we mask it. And I had each guy at the end come up and just say what this meant to them. And my dad came up. And as he comes to the front, he stands there and he just starts to weep. And I start to weep, and everybody else starts to weep. And he just looks and he goes, son, I just have to apologize for sitting here and always showing you my disappointment and not how proud I was of you. And it was a beautiful moment, because that it was like a repentance for not being there emotionally, but being there physically, and him not really understanding what that really meant to be that father figure. And about an hour after that, I did a baptismal call, and I had the privilege of baptizing my father in the ocean down here in Miami, and it was just a beautiful moment.
That's the
place to do it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was. So that's the family I grew up in, is just a close knit, tight knit family that supports one another, that is God fearing, and through highs and lows and all the garbage, all the trash that every family has, is just willing to go into the trenches for one another and willing to be there for one another.
That's really incredible. What a special moment with you and your dad.
It really was. It was paradigm shifting. For him, and just like a true clearing of his heart. I always say, I've got a new book coming out in 2026 called Holy Health. And I break down that there's really four types of hearts in, and again, I'm speaking to men specifically, but I'm sure it applies to women as well. But you've got an addicted heart, you've got a hardened heart, you've got a performance heart, and then you've got a bruised heart. And when you think about these, it's all of these different types of experiences that we've been through. So you've got the performance heart. It's like, hey, you always have to be putting on a show. Is your identity is based in what you do, how well you are, your success. And so you're constantly striving, and oftentimes not living in the true authenticity, not being able to accept certain things that are broken, or certain things that and not being able to connect with people authentically because you don't accept the brokenness. The bruised heart is when you stay away from certain topics. You don't go deep with anybody, because when you go deep, people start to press on certain things that hurt. And hey, I want to stay away from that. I don't like that. And then there's the addicted heart, where we seek out a lot of things from the world, and they can be in a bunch of different forms, from pornography to alcohol to drugs to work to exercising in a lot of ways to social media. Like you, there's all these things you become addicted to because it numbs the pain of whatever you're trying to avoid. And then the hardened heart is where you go through things and you get exposed to things and you become hard. You don't allow yourself to be reached or touched in any way, shape, or form. But you're just like this crusty shell that people can't get close to. And so, when we're able to really lean into that, and I just take Romans 12:1-2 literally in a lot of different ways, is therefore, brothers and sisters, use your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Those seven words, this is your true and proper worship. It's like, he loves it when we get into the word. He loves it when we pray. He loves it when we go to church on Sunday and gets in small groups. But like, what does it look like from a day to day? Like, what are our habits? What are our behaviors? How do we live? How does that show the stewardship and the honor to what we've been given, this tool, this vessel, this vehicle to carry out his calling? Because then it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Patterns are simply another word for values. Values are simply shown through behaviors. So do not conform to the values, the patterns, the behaviors of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we go back into the Old Testament, the mind simply was another way in which we talked about the heart. And so if we can truly deal with the heart, deal with the matters of the heart, what truly matters is actually in the heart. And so how do we show up? How do we change this thing so that we can change what we experience on a daily basis?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. I hear a lot of people say, hey, follow your heart. And then in the Bible, it says not to do that. I mean, like, that thing's tacked full of virtues and vanities. And then 100%. Life in itself is designed to drag those out of there. And we were talking about this the other day. What if you didn't have anybody around besides one other person that, and then you went through puberty? And then that sets in, because this the body is designed in itself for a certain couple of things. Like, they happen automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, like you said, like with the sexual part, the reproduction part, man, if you don't know what that is and it takes a hold of you, that's all you'll think about.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, you said it one way, like the shell of like an armored heart, like a lot of people, when they go through stuff, man, yeah, you're supposed to go in there to earn your armor, but you're also supposed to turn around and go back and use it.
Yeah.
A lot of people get trained up, say, in a martial art or something, they'll never use it. Or you'll learn the word, but you won't go out and spread it.
Amen.
I mean, it's just, and it's hard, right? And that's why it's kind of like, it's important to have people to help teach you and baby step you. And it's also important to be able to watch people do it.
Yeah.
Because humans by design, man, they can see something. And once they see it, then they're like, oh, okay, I know that. But when they say follow your heart, I'm like, well, what are you following?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in the beginning, if no one's taught you how to use it, then you can, it's like with anything else, man, you can use it the wrong way.
Totally. And oftentimes I believe that when we look at, like, when we are striving for a certain identity, like, what is that identity? Like, do you see yourself as whose you are, or do you see you are as who you are needing to be? If it's who you're needing to be, you're going to constantly strive to be something that's validated, strive to be something that falls into this world. If you know whose you are, whose you were made in the image of, and whose calling you're actually executing, then at the end of the day, the results don't matter. It's the journey that you're waiting on. Because I did a podcast on this, actually this week it came out, and it talks about how obsession will ultimately make you sick from the inside out, unless you're obsessively obedient to what God's asking, obsessively obedient to what he's calling you to, and then being perversely patient or purposely patient or persistently patient, whatever P you want to use there.
I think that's the hardest but it's, one.
Exactly. It's being willing to wait, being willing to sit in it. And you go to Isaiah 40, those who are willing to wait on the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles, will run and not grow weary, will walk and not grow faint. And like, these are the things that matter. Like, if we can truly be obedient to what we're asked, be so connected, it's only at that moment that we'll be able to be like, you know what? I know this isn't how it turned out, how I wanted it to be, but you know what? If I sit in it and I'm obedient again and I do the hard thing, I do the thing that seems upside down and backwards, I'm going to live in this paradoxical world. I'm going to get results that make no sense. I'm going to have things that happen that make no sense. I'm going to be blessed in ways that make no sense, because the harvest is plenty, but the hands are few. So it's time to go to work.
Mm-hmm. So how do you teach that to the youth? Because that's when it's the most difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I think the cool thing about our younger generation is they're learning in a new way. And they want to have evidence. And so if I take that for a second, I was always taught, and again, I go paradoxical here. I was always taught of like, listen to me, don't watch me.
Yeah, of course. Do what I say, not what I do. That exactly. Old concept we grew up with.
Now it's no. Watch me. And what did Jesus say? Follow me. Mm-hmm. Watch me. So if all of a sudden I can have people watch what I do, I can have my kids watch what I do and be able to now understand that, my gosh, I'm not going to do it right every single time, but I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to be a man of my word. I'm going to be a man of honor. I'm going to be a man of integrity. I'm going to be somebody who disciplines my body, somebody who disciplines my mind. I'm going to be somebody who treats my wife well. I'm going to be somebody who stewards the gifts I've been given. I'm somebody who is going to welcome people into my home. I'm somebody who is going to serve others. Then all of a sudden, when you start to hold the standard within your household, I'm not holding kids, I'm not holding friends, I'm not holding people to standards that I'm not willing to hold myself. And when you're able to now give them evidence, that is the moment that they can have an encounter.
Oh, sure. That's false teaching right there. Mm-hmm. And man, these younger generation can see that. Anyone can see that.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you tell them. Yeah. Man, if you're not holding your house together, and then you go out and try and preach all this, and just like we said earlier with those phrases that, you know, hey, do what I say, not what I do. I'm like, well, why would I even listen to you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's huge because they have access to almost everything.
Yep.
How do you break that down between, because you were talking about that, your mind, your body, and your spirit. I'm a big believer in that. Those three components have to be trained.
Yep.
And I mean every single day almost.
Yep.
What do you start with?
Yeah, so it's really great. So, and this just comes back from the general, from the teaching in which I've kind of framed this out, is I believe the enemy works in six ways. So the first thing he's going to try to do is distract you. If he can distract you, we can be pulled off purpose. And the moment you get distracted is the moment you get disconnected. If you're disconnected from God and disconnected, you can't be obedient. You don't even have the opportunity to. So he's going to distract. So we can disconnect. Once he disconnects, he divides. He divides you between your work life and your home life. He divides you between your spouse. He divides you between your kids. He divides you between your community and those that hold you accountable. Once he's able to divide you, he's able to start to discourage you. Because once you get into that disconnection, you feel isolated. You feel discouraged. You feel like, man, I can't win. I can't grow in these areas. And at that point, you start to disqualify yourself. Man, maybe I'm not worth it. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I am just a failure. Maybe I am my past. Maybe that is who I'm supposed to be. And then at that point, he destroys you. Because he destroys you from the inside out. And so if I can understand the enemy's tactics, the enemy's not creative. The enemy has one way in which he forms, one way in which he works, one way in which he operates. If I can know that, then I have to come back to the C's, which is the first thing I want to do in the morning is connect. If I can connect, I can eliminate distraction and ultimately eliminate disconnection. So I'm going to connect. How do I do that? I do that through breath work. I do that by getting into the sauna. I do that by getting into my word. I do that by prayer. I do that by getting my workout in, because those are the things that I truly feel connected to God with. I hear him loudly when I'm working out. I've got worship music on. When I'm in the sauna, it's quiet and I'm just getting downloads and I'm being able to like understand where I'm going for my day. As soon as I get out of there, I'm going over to my journal and I'm writing down, okay, what are my tactics? What are the things the Lord wants me to do today that I'm going to be in on? So I'm locked and loaded. I haven't even given the enemy an opportunity to start to distract me and disconnect me. The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge myself. So I'm going to do something that challenges me throughout the day. So some point in the middle of the day, usually when you feel that lull, somewhere around 2-3 o'clock, I'm going to do something challenging. Is it that I go do a 1 mile run? Is it that I go and hit a Murph in the afternoon? Is it that I go and I'm going to fast until 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Oh, man, you just nonchalantly hit a Murph in the afternoon?
I have been known to nonchalantly hit a Murph.
Is that how far you've taken this? All right.
I'm sorry, you just
kind of glazed right over that one. I thought I'd bring it back, but go ahead. I'm tracking what you're saying.
Yep, challenge. Usually, like I said, middle of the afternoon, and then at night, something to calm me down, something to bring that nervous system back down, which is the full body regulator of health is how do we actually down regulate ourselves? How do we calm ourselves at night? And that's usually, again, elimination of technology 3 hours before bed. It's not eating 3 hours before bed. It's making sure that, again, my wife and I are connecting before bed, making sure that we're, again, just getting into some type of reading, maybe go for a walk with the dog at night, but something that's going to calm you. Eliminating work 3 hours before bed. Like there's a 3 hour window I like to keep where it's just, this is calm. This is down regulation time. This is preparation for what I'm going to be doing to serve the next day. And if I don't allow myself to prepare for that, you end up working all night long and then show up exhausted in the morning. So connect in the morning, challenge in the afternoon, calm at night so that you can go and continue to just realize life in an elevated way.
I'm absolutely tracking with what you're saying. I'm on point with that. We do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm almost 50.
I love that.
And it's taken a while for all that to come to fruition. And especially my discipline to make sure it happens. Because you know as well as I do, the minute you get on the road, some of that stuff's going away.
Yeah.
And with the youth, what happens is they get hit first, usually hardest, and then it takes them away quicker.
Yep.
They're the ones that, man, they fall into that gap quick. What do you tell them to start out with? Hey, man, because the way I do it is like start with, like with prayer. People are like, how do you clear your mind? Because the minute I start to clear my mind, I start to take a breath, everything comes flowing in there. Then I get sidetracked. I'm like, okay, start with 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, like you got to baby step this thing up to where when you get to 3 hours of prayer in the morning, meditation and breathing, which is so important. You're right. When you clock in the morning, man, the first one better hit is Jesus.
Yeah.
And I do the writing and the prayer and the meditation and the breathing. Absolutely. 100% on that one. Mm-hmm. Now, knocking out a Murph about at 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not, that's a one time a year for me. But my point with that is that you can literally take this as far as you want and get into that dynamic of mind, body, and spirit to when you're conquering your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What you're saying, Marcus actually lives that.
I live that every day. Mm-hmm. Your exact protocol.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And then when I'm on the road, I still have things, I call it the road maintenance.
Yeah.
When you're behind your gate and you're at the house, you have, there's critical things that I do. It's kind of like prep. That's your training grounds. Yep. When I'm in Valhalla, man, I'm training.
That's what we call our place.
This is what the name of our ranch is, Valhalla.
I love it.
And the minute I go outside the gate, I'm on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a completely different temperament. Like the meditation, the prayer and everything, that's preparation for the mission. And the mission happens the minute you get outside the gate because you're going to run into somebody.
Yep.
And that's who God's putting. That's this. When God delivers somebody in front of you, man, you're there to train them.
Amen.
Like there's no time to back up and be like, oh, I need to get prepped. No. Man, you're prepped when you go out the gate. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? And the hitch in this is, man, to teach the, because that's when you know something. When God turns you around, now you're a teacher.
Yep.
Like you put on your armor of God every morning, you go out the gate, and in the first couple people that they run across, you're going to be easier. But the better you get at this, the better fighter you become, the harder your fights are going to be.
So good.
And I'm just curious as to how do you start them out? Running down the beach, picking up sand? That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I started in journey, in SEAL training, running down the beach, picking up sand.
Yep.
I remember getting my first car. It was exciting, but very stressful. I had no clue if I was getting a good deal or not, but if I had what Navy Federal Credit Union and TrueCar are offering right now, it would have made life so much easier. Right now, you can get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar, and you can finance it through Navy Federal. You can get access to a ton of listings, special incentives on select vehicles, and fast financing decisions with great rates. It's clear, it's simple, and it's actually built to help you out. And if you're active duty, a veteran, or just part of a military family, this is made specially for you. Navy Federal has got your back, helping you hit your goals both on and off the road. So if a new ride is in your plan, don't overthink it. Just start with Navy Federal. To qualify for the $250 bonus, Car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by the NCUA.
It's so beautiful because, like, again, through our company, we've got so many people that we serve. Through Redeemed and the men's events, we've got so many people we serve. But just like you said, Marcus, there's people just on a day-to-day basis. And the first thing that I always do with anybody, I think a lot of times we see people and they're just yearning to be heard, listened to, and understood. And that's all I ever do is... There's a great book. It's called The Answer is a Question. And my first three vocal points to somebody always I try to make is three questions. Is what's your name? How's your heart? How can I help? And so I just understand their name. I understand where their heart is. And sometimes people don't even know what that means. Like, how's your heart? I don't know. Like, what does that mean? Well, like, how are you feeling? Like, what's going on? Tell me what's happening in your life. And you start to ask them questions. And my gosh, before you're there, before you even know it, you're able to start ministering to them. You're able to start speaking life into them. You're able to start encouraging them. And if you even start listening to some of the words that people often say, they're like, I'm just trying to connect with you. I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm just trying to speak life into you. I'm just trying to get close to you. What are you actually doing? You're eliminating distraction, discouragement, disconnection, division, and ultimately you're interrupting the enemy's plan for what it is that they've been having these people walk down and they didn't even know it. And so you are literally that godsend, that angel for that person in that moment that's hopefully shedding light, because we're not going to hit them with the Bible. Oftentimes people aren't really willing to hear that, or yeah. there's this place where they're like, hey, I'm still so closed off to it because I'm not into religion. Well, I'm not into religion either. I'm into relationship. What does relationship with Jesus look like? What does relationship with God look like? How can that change your heart so that you can ultimately change your mind, change your body, change your actions, change your life? And the first thing that people have to do, maybe the only interaction they get with you is 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Well, how can I be the best reflection of God, the best reflection of Jesus for them in that moment? Because that's maybe the closest that they'll ever get. And so if I can do that in every way, shape, and form, then that's going to give the greatest opportunity to steward the gift and the call that's on each and of our lives. Now, do we have systems and ways in which we do it in Own It, in our company, within redeeming the health of people? Yes. Is there ways we do it within Redeemed? Yes. But then from a day-to-day aspect, just the way that my wife and I go about our lives and the way in which we serve and the way in which we go, just try to be a reflection of love every single place that we go. Try to speak life into people and give them that opportunity. But even to your point, Marcus, is when I'm on the road, because I travel probably 110, 115 days a year, keynoting and running workshops and all of these different things. And it's the systems that I implement into my day, into my life, that allow me to be successful. People are like, you're just the most disciplined person. I'm not the most disciplined person, but I am the most devoted person. I'm extremely devoted to what it is that I've been called to. And because I'm so connected to that calling, the discipline shows up as a consequence because of the devotion that's there and the commitment that's there. You either continually commit consistent commitment compounds, but so does consistent compromise. So you have a choice. Do you want your compromise to be compounding in your life, or do you want your commitment to be compounding in your life?
Oh, yeah, and you got to work on those.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
You're right. There's sometimes when people get delivered in front of you, man, you only got a few minutes with them. That's why you were just the reflection.
Yep.
Because that's what they're looking at. Yep. And the best, because you even walk across a pastor or a preacher or a priest, you kind of know what they're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
But if you're on the tactical level, like you're dressed in civilian clothes, inked out, and you look like some guy that they wouldn't even, well, there's ways to come at them.
Oh, yeah.
Big man, time. You can hit them with the word. They won't even know what's going down.
Yep.
And they'll just, it's like planting a seed. One of my favorite verses from the Bible is the sower.
Yeah.
And if you're walking out the gate looking for that, Like it doesn't accidentally showed up and then you realize it was going down. No, you become a hunter.
Yep.
Like there's the fishermen of men and then there's the hunters. Like I went out looking for you and I knew you were going to come across my bow and I was just waiting for you to open it up. And the minute you did, man, I came in there and left something. Right? It's like hitting them with the disease of the word and let that fester inside. I'm like, oh man, I got to kind of, all right. Because human beings, man, what they're looking, they're watching and their reaction time is a lot faster. And you're right. Sometimes when you walk up and you try to hit them with, because we have them, you know, there's the people that get hit with the Holy Spirit, man. They walk around with the Bible, just they'll slap you across the face with it, and they just scare the mess out of people. They just do. Some people, you got to baby step into it, mm-hmm. and that's how you do it.
Justin, do you mind telling us the story of like how you even got into wanting to do this? Did you have a health scare and all that? Can you get into that story?
Yeah. So at 8 years old, like I said, I just knew I was going to be a part of the redemption story of the Health of America and said yes to the Lord. I'm walking all in this, like, you're going to make me a doctor. You're going to put me in just places of power. And I was like, yeah, I'm all for this. Well, ultimately grew up a fat kid, was teased, was made fun of, ADHD, OCD, all the dyslexia, all the disorders. So I was just an odd kid, just an awkward kid. I happened to be extremely athletically gifted, and that fat kid became the anorexic kid. Became addicted to exercise, was fearful of going back to looking the way that I was before. For the first time I was ever validated for my physique in the way that I was, and I just took it to a level of extreme. And the anorexic kid ultimately had kidney and liver failure at 16 years old.
You had a bad.
Wow. Oh yeah, big time. That's crazy. Had lost over 80 pounds in the course of 2.5 years. At 16 years old, was 14, was 155 pounds. And at 16, at my lightest, I think I was 92.
That's too thin.
And it was the anorexia was something that just had, it was just like a wall around me. It crippled me. Fear everywhere. The depression took over. And just ripped every part of me out. Got into suicidal ideation, and it stuck with me. I started to see a positive increase with some coaches that came into my life. Was blessed. I came down to the States on a hockey scholarship at 19, and my whole purpose and conviction at that point was because through my 12 through 18 year old years, I was paraded through eating disorder clinics, doctor's offices, psychologist offices, specialist offices, and was only ever told, like, there was something wrong with you. How are we going to fix you? What's the matter with you? Never actually being seen, heard, or understood. And the question that always was asked was, how do we treat this? But instead of asking, how do we treat this, nobody ever asked, why is this happening? And so that was my biggest mission, was coming down to figure out that question, not how to treat something, but why was something happening? So I got 2 undergraduate degrees, got a master's degree, did my postgraduate doctoral work in heart rate variability and sleep, and then stepped into functional medicine work. And this concept of thinking differently, looking at the human body as unique and wonderfully made, looking at it as you have a single solution, something that needs to be personalized to you, ultimately allowed me to step into the NHL and NCAA as a health and performance coach at 24 years old, and started to create a lot of these programs for these athletes. And they started to... their injury rates drop, their sickness rates drop, they start to perform better. They started to see careers elongated. And as the world typically does, when that starts to happen, they start to ask questions. So, like, where did you come from? What did you learn? What did you study? How did this happen? I started to write books. I started to speak. I started to travel. I started businesses. I was holding positions that required a lot of travel, and I started to burn out. And I continued to live in a way, yes, I was eating well, yes, I was training well, but I wasn't stewarding my body well. I wasn't recovering. I wasn't focused on connection. I was walking away from the Lord. I was doing a lot on my own. Over the course of that time, I went through a divorce. was being, again, you talk about performance heart. This was performance heart to a T. And all of a sudden at 31 years old, I started to have this, like I woke, it was almost like overnight. I woke up one morning and my body hurt everywhere. I started to be able to fall asleep. I couldn't stay asleep. I'd eat anything and I'd bloat like a fish. I had energy lulls that seemingly just would hit me out of nowhere and I couldn't seem to get going. Brain fog, like couldn't see through anything. I couldn't get up, walk into a room, couldn't remember why I went there. And I was like, this is not normal. Went to all the docs, all the functional docs, everybody, and they were like, yeah, you know what? This is just, you're the picture of health. About a month before that, I had qualified for the CrossFit Games, just done a triathlon, just did a photo shoot for Men's Health, like all the things, like you're the picture of health, but I felt like garbage. And I was in Chicago, and it was like a lightning bolt hit me in the chest, and I just heard the voice of God. He said, why don't you do the same thing for yourself that you're doing for your athletes? And I started to measure those certain markers, look at those certain measurements, and they were all about 25% of where they should have been. It prompted me to go and get a deeper look inside, and they found 4 precancerous polyps in my colon and a precancerous ulcer in my stomach, and I was told I wouldn't see 35. And that was when I realized that the problem that I was solving for these athletes wasn't actually an athlete problem, but a human problem. And I was called to step out and serve the audience that the Lord had called me to at that 8-year-old boy, and to stop serving the audience that that I wanted to, because it validated me. And so that was my last year in the National Hockey League, and stepped out and started our business about 9 months later after wrestling with God for 9 months. That's a story in and of itself, and trying to figure out what direction to go, how to do it, how to create this thing and bring it to life. And now 4.5-5 years later, we're serving thousands of people and see hundreds of miracles every single week, and it's just an absolute blessing. And then being able to do it with my best friend, who's my wife.
That's so
cool. Everything runs smoother.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can get the other life done. Mm-hmm. You can. There's people that live in it, but it'll 100%. Kill you. It'll absolutely kill you. That's how you know.
Well, and you have something missing. There's like an empty feeling when you're just, pedal to the metal kind of thing.
And I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can talk to people across the board, man. From billionaires, bikers, astronauts, athletes, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You look at them and they're the pinnacle of success. Like, man, it was like, all right, well, ask them on the inside.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you ask the right way, they'll tell you. Or you can hear it, actually. Like, if you know what you're listening for. You said that earlier. I mean, you can ask questions. There's a few questions you can ask. But then there's other questions you can ask. Just listen to them talk. Just get them talking about something.
Yeah.
And you'll hear it in their voice. You're like, okay, 100%. Man, you're empty on something. For sure.
I call it success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure.
Gotta be the worst, right?
And I've lived that. I've lived it. I've seen it. It steals your health. When you think about this concept, I don't think it's by accident that, and again, I think the Bible is one big health book to me. That's how I read it. That's how I see it. I just think that if you live by the principles in which we've been taught through the Bible, there is no way that you can't live a life that is fulfilled, that is whole, that is just rich, that that we sit in. And I don't think it's by accident that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of each and every one of us, that we are the tool, the vehicle, the vessel in which we go and we carry out the calling. We honor and we serve a God of abundance, a God of growth, and the enemy knows that. And so if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, if we are the tool, the vessel, the vehicle, what do you think the enemy's going to come after first? It's us.
Yeah, the body.
It's this thing. It's this expression of God. And it's not going to be through our thoughts. It's going to be first off through our behaviors, through our habits, through the patterns in which we do daily, because it's only through that point that it can be sneakily done, so that then it incestually comes into our mind and into our heart. And so it's going to be slow. It's going to be a slow drip. It happens slowly before it happens suddenly. And this is the thing, if we can start to be hyper aware, is that, hey, how we live is our true and proper worship. How we live is the thing that creates change. How we live is the thing in which we're able to truly now go and start honoring the person who actually created us to give our calling, because your calling is somebody else's miracle, and they're waiting on you to choose something different, waiting on you to step into that, waiting on you to actually live differently so you can have this impact and influence that you were put here on earth for, and leave a legacy that is eternal, that is so much greater than you. And I think that pursuit is something that is honored through energy, through mental clarity, through abundance, through growth, through connection, all the things that we're after, all the things that we're looking for.
And one of my teachers said the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. It's yeah. Kind of like so if you're not from here, right? Right? And your body is your car or your avatar, yep, that was designed from Earth so you can live on Earth.
Yep.
And a lot of people, like, if you walk out to your vehicle, there's an owner's manual in there.
Yep.
And it tells you everything about it. But how many people actually read that? You can still get in there and drive your vehicle without reading that owner's manual.
Yep.
But if you do, then you know everything that it's about. Same way with the Bible. It is, man. It's a self-help book. It's instruction manual for your body on how to get through this place. And if you have a question, it's in there.
Yep.
The people throughout time have jotted it down through God's word and put it in there so you can get through this place. And you'd be surprised how many people won't even look at it.
It's incredible. And I think, and here's the other thing, though, is I was also that person. I was that person, even though I was raised in the house I was raised in, even though that I had the relationship that I had for probably the course of 10 years, I was like, yeah, I got this. I'll figure it out myself. I'll go at it myself. Look at all the good things that are happening to me. I did this. This was my doing. And I was the best at what I called foxhole prayers. It's like, man, got myself in a little bit of a pickle here. It'd be awesome if you got me out.
Right.
And it's like, and those are kind of just what I lived in for a while. And what you noticed was that there's just a sense of emptiness. There's a sense of feeling alone. And I've got it tattooed on my chest. It's the poem Footprints, where that the man's walking down the beach and he finds himself in trials and tribulations. And as he sees himself in trials and tribulations, he looks back, and during those seasons of his life, there was only one set of footprints. And he was like, God, why did you forsake me during this time? Why did you leave me alone during this time? I felt the aloneness. And the Heavenly Father just looks down at him and goes, my son, it wasn't during that time that you were walking alone, but rather where I was carrying you. And if I look back on my life and I reflect on my life, especially over the course of that decade, I can see so many times where he was just carrying me through, so many times where he was with me. He was never lost, I was. And he found me, and he's searching for every single person out there. He's the one that leaves the 99 to go search for the one. And as much as I was the one at some point, somebody maybe listening to this is the one at some point. And so being able to come back and to be able to honor through the way that you're living, through the way that you're operating, is just the truest sense of worship in the best way possible.
How important is it for people to work on all three, mind, body, and spirit?
I think the lie that we've been told the most that we believe is that you can segregate your life. You can segregate body. You can segregate mind. You can segregate soul. And because we're integrated beings, mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional stress, the body does not know the difference. Something positive or negative, the body doesn't know the difference. Something in the past, present, or future stress, the body does not know the difference. And so because we're integrated beings, everything has a play on itself. And so you can't be physically unwell. You can't not work out, eat poorly, not sleep, and expect to be spiritually rich. It just won't happen that way. But at the same time, you can't not be in your Bible and not be connected to the Lord and not give yourself quiet time, but yet be in extremely great shape and eat extremely clean and be regimented on your night routine and give yourself some breathwork time and supplement all like crazy and feel well. It just doesn't work that way. There's these things that all need to be put into place, into practice, and integrate, because the more we disintegrate, those areas of our life, the faster the disintegration of our health. We see it literally fall through our fingertips, and we just seemingly can't get a wrap on it because we don't integrate everything back together.
So true. How do our listeners sign up for your program, your coaching?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way is to go to ownitcoaching.com. Ownitcoaching.com, they can learn a lot more about what we do, how we do it, everything from the deep integrated testing from the cellular level, because again, that's how we were created. 30 trillion cells make up each and every one of us. We're a miracle that all integrate together to be able to have 500 million of them repair every 84 days, meaning that every 5 to 7 years, we become a completely brand new cellular human being. So we can either thrive or we can decay based upon the choices that we make over the course of that time on a day-to-day basis. And so from the testing, from the coaching, from the day-to-day accountability, from the personalized programming, this is where they can find more information, ownitcoaching.com, and grab a call right there with members of our team to see where we can start for them.
And so do you work on all three of those things in your coaching, the mind, body, spirit?
Yes. So that's the really cool thing is, so when anybody works with us, we have an integrated team that you're going to work with. So you're going to have a health coach who is a registered dietitian and a strength and conditioning coach. You're going to have a mental performance coach who is either a cognitive behavioral therapist or a spiritual warrior, basically somebody who goes and does deep spiritual work with you, and then a functional medicine doc. So you're going to have these three people who are wrapped around you, integrated into you, looking at your data every single day from your wearable device, looking at your testing that comes through every single quarter, and then putting daily habits, daily behaviors, daily protocols in place for you in the season of life that you're in and the unique time and season that you're in, so that we can really start to help work with you and take this journey with you. And so it's not like, hey, we're going to talk to you once a quarter. No, we're talking to you daily. We're going to go on this journey with you. It's literally like we're locking arms with you. We like to say we like to be the nobodies, because nobody wants to go on the journey. Everybody wants the results. Nobody wants to get specialized. Everybody wants the scale, but we love to be the nobody so that you can be the somebody at the end of the day.
Not until they get in it.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Then you get an appetite for it.
Exactly.
It's like the training wheels thing, or the walk, you know, crawl, walk, run.
Exactly.
Covering down on all three of those, that's fascinating. Good, and that's how it has to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When someone signs up with Own It, how long do you see a difference in that person?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great question, and we see a visible, but also quantifiable change in people after about 4 weeks. And then after those 4 weeks, we typically, all of our programs are 6 months to 12 months in duration, depending on who you are. And then the coolest part is that people continue on the journey with us from a community standpoint. They'll continue to get testing every quarter, every 6 months. And so we have people who have been with us for 4+ years. And this has just become their new norm. They've just completely stepped into a life that's different. We just say, we have this, this quote is called, it's live different. If you live different, your results are different. If you live different, you start to feel different. If you live different, you're stewarding your body different. If you live different, you're going to see what different actually looks like. And so, after about a month, people start to look, see, think, and feel completely different than when they started.
That's awesome.
A lot of people, when you hear that, they think it's a long time, but it's not.
Yeah. And
anything worth doing is going to take time, especially if you're on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And it also reminds you of where you come from. It's almost like a martial art.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like when you go in there, everybody wants to be the black belt, but man, you got to start off at the bottom and work your way up. That way you know you've actually achieved something.
Exactly.
What's one of the hardest parts about being you?
The hardest parts about being me? Wow, that's a great question. I think it's dealing with my brain, to be honest with you. My brain's always on. And I think differently. I've thought differently since I was a kid. And there's being somebody with ADHD, somebody with dyslexia, somebody with OCD, it feels like my viewpoint of things is sometimes always a little bit different. And so I still remember in a lot of, especially early in our marriage, my wife and I would have these conversations that would turn to arguments because I would say, if you only knew what was going on in my brain, you'd have more empathy for me. And I took myself sometimes as the victim, but in actually learning that I'm perfectly imperfectly wired so people can connect. And being able to do the work daily, humble myself daily, be willing to do the work on myself that I have to do daily in order to thrive in that, that's probably one of the one of the most difficult things about being me is that is just this beautiful brain that I've been given that's different, that's unique, that is flawed, but flawed in perfect design for what it is that I was called to do.
That's something, isn't it? Like, you know that you've been tapped with that, mm-hmm. and it never goes away. Like, people, a lot of people, I train this and change my nature, and everything. Same thing with me. Like, there's some stuff that I have to contend with every day.
Yep.
But once I got a visual of it and what it looks like when it comes on and how I reacted to it and how I used to react to it, it does make it a lot easier to get through it. Yep. That does happen.
100%. And I say this often to people is, you don't have to do this. You don't have to live a certain way because I'm just telling you. You've been blessed with something. I've been blessed with OCD. I've been blessed with dyslexia. I've been blessed with ADHD. I've been blessed with the journey that I've gone on. But because I've been blessed with that, I don't have a choice other than to live this way so that I can actually execute on
the call.
That's
a great point. And I always thought about that too. I was like, hey, what if all those things that you labeled on our kids and our people, if it's actually a superpower?
Yeah, 100%.
Instead of feeding them the drugs to quell that, if you had, I think we're just kind of learning right now. Like, our generation, we're trying to figure out what we are. I was like, hey, man, why don't you try to cultivate that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Always be positive.
That's so funny.
Yeah, man. I think that's kind of what you're doing, man. Like, send us the ones that are outside the rails, man. We'll put them back in there and let them know what they are. I think if you find out that that's what that is, mm-hmm. like, hey, you were blessed with something. Let's cultivate that and see what it is.
And I think so often we teach people that they're broken. We teach people that they need to be fixed. But what if the way in which you're created is the exact perfect way that God wanted to create you? You just haven't understood why yet. You just haven't built a system around how to live yet that actually amplifies those callings for you. And so because you're trying to hold it in, or because you're trying to medicate it, or because you're trying to manipulate it in a certain way that it was never meant to be manipulated, because that's not what our medical system has been built for. That's not what our healthcare system has been built for. That's not what our minds and our lifestyles and our culture has been built for. What if that's actually the what's holding you back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you actually step into it, not until you embrace it, not until you say, hey, I'm going to take full ownership of this, and I'm going to live a life that's different. I'm going to live a life that is aligned with what it is that I've been called to do. And I am going to learn the language of my body so that I can now respond to that, the thing that is so connected to God, the thing that He built, because He doesn't make mistakes. And so what does it look like if I know the language of my body and I can now make the best decisions possible for me and live a lifestyle and design a lifestyle around that? That's how you thrive. That's how you make a difference. That's how you make influence. And that's how you leave a legacy that ultimately other people can follow in those footsteps.
So good.
I was going to ask for some wisdom, but I believe that covered down on it.
That's it. So how can people follow you, our listeners? How can they, you know, just your website or Instagram, or do you have anything you want
to
share?
Great. I've the best place to go and follow me is Instagram, at Justin Roth. So Marcus is abbreviation for my last name.
Roth and Schofer.
Well, look at that though. You just needed
it
to be
good?
Said once.
All
you
right.
Nailed it. Nailed
it. I got it, bro. I got you, man.
That's funny.
Nailed it. So yeah, just Instagram at Justin Roth. You can find everything there. Links out to the website, links out to my podcast, links out to YouTube, everything else that's there. So, but that's the best place to connect.
Awesome.
So, man, God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. Thanks for coming on and thanks for inspiring and helping all of our people, man. It's definitely a calling for you and you're living it out. So God bless you, man.
Well, I appreciate each one of you too. And just honor to the fact that you guys do this together as a family. I think it's just the show of a legacy of the Luttrell family and how you guys are living your life. So just honor to you guys. And I appreciate for having me on.
Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Thank you.
Let's stay in touch too. I want to see where you go. I like this.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.